Our good friend Ariel Kahana is with us live via telephone, diplomatic correspondent for Yisrael Hayom. His email, arik3000@gmail.com. If you want to be in touch with him, he welcomes that. And on Twitter, @arik3000. Ariel Kahana, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Shalom, Nachum. Good morning to you and to our listeners.
You told me a funny story off the air. I think you should tell it on the air. You basically informed one of your younger colleagues yesterday that you used to carry a beeper on a regular basis, and they reacted with tremendous shock.
Yes, correct. It was actually someone from Dover Tzal, from the IDF spokesman, a young guy. Probably about 20 years old. And, you know, so I'm 50. So I told him, you know, I used to have beeper for many years. I guess up until maybe 20 years ago, even less. So, but for him, since he's so young, so for him, it's as if I came from, I don't know, some from ancient period, from as if I had the car and the horse to travel, because for him beeper is something for ancient also. So it was very funny.
I love it. And what you just went through is being duplicated all around the world, frankly, especially in our community, as the young people are learning about how beepers were such an important part of our life. All right, so I would think that what I'm about to say is accurate. You'll tell me if I'm right or wrong. Israel has officially not taken any responsibility, nor have they made any public statements about yesterday's episode. However, there are many news outlets, and including the New York Times, Axios, and others that are in fact, you know, that they are in fact declaring that they have been given proof that Israel was responsible for yesterday. How is the Israeli media playing it, and how are your friends in the government playing it? Is there a complete silence on this episode?
So it goes like that. As part of Israeli media, I must always quote foreign sources. Okay,
right.
I cannot say anything because I'm Israeli, of course, and I'm looking for an Israeli outlet. I can't say anything that will gives the impression to anyone who is listening that action yesterday in Lebanon was made by Israel. Okay,
right.
So we are talking about Micronesia, we're talking about Norvegia, we're talking about Sweden. Luxembourg. We find so many interesting countries around the world and say, so if Luxembourg did that, so it had ABC interests, and she did that with the XYZ ways and so on. So we are playing a game, but yes, we are not allowed to say at all that it was an Israeli operation. And maybe I would say, Nachum, that as much as it was unbelievable over any imagination operation, that's how, as we have to be silent and not in any way give any kind of impression that it was made by Israel, because I think the point is to give Hezbollah, let's call it a room for maneuver, as if it was not done by us, so as if he doesn't have to retaliate,
right,
to revenge to Israel.
And of course, they already called for revenge. Supposedly, Nasrallah is going to be speaking tomorrow. I'm assuming he will just reiterate how they're ready to take revenge on Israel. So the silence, and I get what you're saying, it gives them the space, it gives them the room to, you know, to not blame Israel or to, you know, save face in front of you know, those who are supporters of Israel. But the reality is that unless things calm down, I'd have to assume that they will continue a public declaration of a need to retaliate against Israel.
Look, I guess so. We still, I think at least I don't exactly know at this moment how much the heat was strong, because no question it was very, very strong for Hezbollah and some, I mean it was strong militarily, and of course a very serious humiliation for Hezbollah, and I'm not sure they have or what kind of abilities they still have to revenge. You must pay attention, Nahum, that since since yesterday afternoon, and talking about Israeli time, I mean, since that operation happened, all the beepers blew up in Lebanon. Actually, Hezbollah, if I'm not wrong, it was one tiny operation, sent few drones during the middle of the night here.
Right.
But no more than that. And, you know, in the last weeks, we used to get every day dozens of missiles and rockets.
What a shock. After yesterday's attack, their response was much less than what's been happening each day in the last few weeks. I mean, I'm sure that's
it's,
your point.
I think it's a very important point. Because, look, first of all, again, maybe the damage is so strong for them that they don't have the ability to shoot as much as they did in previous days.
Right.
But on top of that, look, before 3 weeks, if I'm not wrong, we did, if you remember, during the night, we bombed Israeli Air Force, and that was taking responsibility. Israeli bombed their missiles sites and so on.
Right.
And it took them 3-4 days coming back to shoot so many missiles again. So Israel does have that power to limit their operations, and maybe in this case, you know, it's just not able, and definitely not the way they used to. So you sense I also say they will try to revenge, but I'm not sure how much power they have to do that.
Ariel Kahana is with us. A lot. I assume that even though, as you said, you know, members of the media in Israel are not going to openly declare any responsibility, especially vis-a-vis Israel, I get it. I assume, just from what I'm reading out of Israeli media, that there's plenty of analysis and speculation. For instance, I found it fascinating when I read that the enemy was coming on to them, that there were rumors spreading amongst Hezbollah that these beepers are booby-trapped, and therefore Israel, and we have no idea, Israel or the perpetrator, whoever the perpetrator is, we have no idea when they would have scheduled, you know, this operation to happen, but that they had no choice but to go about it yesterday because information was getting out. Have you heard or read that type of speculation?
I read those reports, Nahum. I cannot confirm. I can't tell you if it's true or wrong. What I can tell you is that yesterday, the hours before that operation happened, it was very tense hours here in Israel. I can tell you that officials told me we are on top of a break, okay? Because who knows what's going to happen, and we still don't know what's going to happen. You know, Nahum, it's also very important to emphasize that the operation was very, very successful, because, you know, I mean, it could, you know, just very tiny mistakes,
right. That's true.
And it could go wrong. And contradict that, you had probably maybe 1,000% success.
Right. That's
because
true.
You hit those who you wanted
That's
to
true.
In a very accurate way. So, miraculously, I would say, even.
Is Golan safe for now? If he wants to keep this job, is he safe for now?
you're going straight to the point. Well, at the moment, I think it's 50-50. I think Netanyahu still wants to replace him. But you are right that first, since those hours are very, very tense.
And unity is important.
Unity is important, and again, if Hezbollah will retaliate a minute after you and I end our conversation, so that's definitely not appropriate time to replace the defense minister. But if things will calm down, so I think he will be replaced. Look, you know, I don't like when I'm interviewed to talk about internal fights here in Israel. Unfortunately, we have too many of them.
Yeah.
But let's say that the way Gallant is playing is not clear to me, to say the least, and definitely not clear to the prime minister. So it reached a point that Netanyahu feels he has to replace him. But maybe you are right, and you know now they are working together for the last 24, 48 hours. Maybe things will come down between the both of them, and once again they could continue. Again, now it's 50-50, I would say.
What do you make of the Houthis' obsessive public declaration that they want to attack and destroy Israel. They're not usually this vocal. You know, they're certainly not as vocal as Hezbollah and Hamas on this issue. What's with them that they are, you know, out there in the media, you know, declaring war on Israel?
The truth is, Nahum, the way I see it is first of all, Iran. Okay, it's a shofar of Iran. Okay, if I may say so.
Right.
And but on top of that, it's an international problem. I remind you, they still block international roads, right, or ways of
waterways, yeah.
Of trade. Yes, and the Americans, by the way, are threatening them and other countries as well. So it's mainly, I mean, they do threaten on us, but practically it's an international problem, and we all around the world, we pay the price. Because ships are not going over there, and so prices are going up, and so on. That's a serious problem.
I hear it. I just wonder, you know, when a group like that goes out of their way to make a declaration. But I hear what you're saying. Always curious about your trips to the United States. Were you involved in any interesting events last week?
Actually, yes. I had the privilege to participate last week in the MID conference that took place on Sunday and Monday last week. I'm talking in DC. Most of the substance, Nahum, was off the record, but you know, the positive part was that conference that was led by both previous ambassadors to Israel, David Friedman and Tom Nides. It brought back the message of bipartisanship support for Israel, which to me is very, very important.
Good.
And I'll tell you on top of that, that the messages that at least I heard from American officials were positive regarding Israel. There are differences, of course, between the Biden administration and Israel, but it seems to me that when it comes to the core issues, They are with us, and to me, I mean, I felt a little bit better when that conference ended.
You know what's interesting to me, and by the way, I'm watching on the screen here, Donald Trump is speaking tonight on Long Island, and people are already lined up. Some slept overnight in order to get prime space for an event that starts about 12 hours from now. So, and the reason I mention it is because I said this to the listeners on Friday when I got back. I found it fascinating in Israel that people I don't know, hotel staff, cab drivers, you know, random people you meet on the street who find out you're from the United States. The question I was asked more than anything else was, who won? Who won in reference to the debate? As if the future of Israel is dependent upon who gets into the White House. Now, I know there's always a fascination with American politics, but do you feel that there's a little bit more of a desperate need to know in Israel about what's happening over here now?
Well, first of all, I think you are right about all options. In other words, Israelis are fascinating with American politics.
Right.
Many Israelis feel, in my opinion, they are going too far with that. That our future depends on what's going to happen in America, and it's wrong because it depends on what we're going to do. But it's also because, you know, politics here is, I mean, Netanyahu is the prime minister for so many years, except of one. So, you know, it's Israelis like politics. So, you know, it's an opportunity to let's see what goes on in other countries.
That's true. Maybe we'll see a transition in the United States that we're not seeing here.
Yeah.
I hear that. By the way, you're paraphrasing Ben-Gurion. Wasn't it Ben-Gurion who said, I'm not worried about what the nations say. I'm worried about what the Jews do. So
100%. Yes, you are right. Ben-Gurion said that. And sometimes we intend to forget it. It's mostly in our hands.
It's an understatement to say the least. Ariel Kahana on Twitter at Arik3000. Feel free to be in touch with him and always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nahum. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ariel Kahana, military correspondent for Yisrael Hayom. And always fascinating to get his perspective on both what's happening in Israel and what's happening here. In this case, we got his perspective on the beeper attack that's being credited to Israel. But we don't even know if Israel will ever claim responsibility for it. They may not even know the first thing about it. More coming up. It's Wednesday at JM in the AM.